This morning's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may not boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end, and as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to the childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. These are our sacred stories. Last Sunday's lection ended with these words. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. These words of Paul lead directly into this morning's reading on love. Love is the still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Most of us are likely familiar with this passage. We hear it often at weddings. Paul, however, does not have romantic love in mind. He's not preparing words to go on Valentine's or Hallmark cards. As I mentioned last Sunday, the church in Corinth was struggling. They were fighting about which spiritual gifts were the best and about who among them was the most important. And Paul reminds the church that they are all important, all part of one body, and then shows them that love is the way to maintain community. Love is how we stay together, how we work together, how we live into our mission. Paul talks about love as a verb. We translate this passage as love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, but in the Greek, love is the verb of each of these statements. So it would be more like love shows patience. Love acts with kindness. Love actively seeks not to be boastful or arrogant or rude. Love is the process of hearing other ideas, really hearing, and not insisting on its own way. Love works on resentment and irritability, seeking its cause and speaking truth, the truth that needs to be spoken. Love is not seeking control or power because love is secure. Love frees itself from competition and comparison. Love takes deep breaths and looks for compassion for itself and others. Love rejoices in authenticity and does not rejoice in the failings of others or the self. Love is always active, always seeking, always hoping, always striving for genuine care. Love is busy. It never ceases to work. It never fails or falters or falls. Paul is not describing love in the abstract. This is not a theoretical sense. Paul is telling the early church and telling us what love does, how love is lived out in community. Paul doesn't say this is easy. This is not about that bubbly feeling of a rom-com or those commercials that make us cry. Paul's ideas won't fit on a candy heart. We are reading Paul's mail, and this letter is specifically to people who are not feeling warm and gentle toward each other. They are in conflict. The love described in this letter can be measured not by how it feels, but by its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. This is only possible when love is the center of what we do and who we are. Paul is describing radical communal love that makes it possible to thrive in our diversity, to have unity without uniformity. This act of love is a practice, it's work. Love is required if we are to be the body of Christ. This is the more excellent way, the journey in which we strive to reflect the love of God to ourselves and each other and the world. We live this love in many ways in our communal lives. We live it simply by knowing each other and being known. This vulnerability and authenticity form a foundation for living our love. The work of love we do as a church is often done through our committees. Each committee lives the love of covenant. Each committee embodies our mission and vision. The work of the outreach committee, for example, to prepare our pride float and march and throw beads and include the rest of us in showing and shouting that God's love and our love is for everyone. This is the work of love. The work of the worship committee to prepare worship services, it's an act of love. It's an act that reaches beyond this building. There are people in other states, indeed in other countries, who listen to our services and read our worship folders. They do this online, and I know they do because they send me emails. What we do here on Sunday mornings, it matters. It's living into our love. Living our love for the divine, for ourselves, and for a far greater reach than Houston, Texas. The work of the Adult Education Committee to offer opportunities to learn and to teach together, it's love. One week we might experience a spiritual journey, and another we might come to know more about the creation of the biblical canon. We're together, learning and teaching and growing. And it's love. The work of the Facilities Committee, poet U.A. Fanthrope says it this way: there's a kind of love called maintenance, which stores the WD-40 and knows when to use it, which checks the insurance and doesn't forget to plant bulbs. The poem goes on, I recommend it to you. These buildings and their upkeep, they are love. Our love for God, our love for each other, our love for this neighborhood. We share these buildings. We care for these buildings. It's love. The work of the hospitality committee is love. A cup of coffee is sometimes how I come into myself. It's sometimes how I find my way to patience, how I start to live into kindness, how I see my resentment and know I'm not asking for what I need. Sometimes it's the compassion I give myself so that I can be gentle with myself and others. Hospitality is about so much more than snacks and drinks. Hospitality does the work of our love through tangible symbols of welcome and care. The work of the missions committee is love. Love lived through meals created and served at Grace Place, at hospitality apartments. The children and youth committee embodies our love in wiggly bodies and Sunday school and camps and justice projects like Bags for Hungry People and collections for animals. And I could just go on and on and on. Love is what we do. We don't have a love committee because they are all love committees. And we don't limit the work of the committees to the members of the committees either. That's why you see invitations for Saturday facility work days and participation in the work of Grace Place and on and on. Love is our mission, and we're living it as individuals and especially when we gather together as the body of Christ. As you know, I don't think Paul is always right. He misses the mark time and time again. And I think he's on to something here. We come together, creating a whole from tremendous diversity. We are Christ's body on earth. And the only way we can manage that is by following the still more excellent way of love. Good things don't get lost. Compassion is compounded. You do what you can, and I do what I can, and together we do even more than we could imagine. Love is a practice. It's work. It takes effort. It requires a commitment from each one of us to keep trying, and when we miss it, to apologize, to show that we want to change. We want to live into the love we're trying to share with each other and the world. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. We live in our love. We practice it. We share it. In just a moment, we'll sing a hymn together, and then you'll be invited to this table, this embodiment of love. Everyone is welcome to come forward and tear bread and dip it in wine or water. You, exactly you, you are loved. You, exactly you are living love right this moment. Amen.